I'm not sure about snow anymore. I'm just not sure about it. I've been in this area for 58 years of my life. I grew up in West Claremont. I've just never really traveled outside of Indiana and Kentucky until I, of course, joined the Navy. But as a kid, this was my hunting ground. And we would just go out and play in snow. I would build snow forts that would last till March. The blizzard of 77, 78. Wow. We were all praying for a little global warming back then, but it was an amazing, as a kid, it was amazing. We had a sled run that literally ran from the new 275 highway. They were just building it. So they had that up on the mound, the highway. They build it up, right? Then they pave it. Well, just with that little amount of hill that they gave us, we were able to create a sled run, literally, that ran for 800 meters through pines, down a single track. You'd pick up a little speed going downhill and you'd cross a creek on a bridge. It was amazing, man. But I'm not so crazy about the snow anymore. I'm just not, you know, it's just, I'd rather be at Lake Chickamauga right now, you know, where you could get really excited if you got maybe a quarter inch of snow and the whole planet shuts down for a couple days. I mean, school's out, kids are playing in the snow, they've never seen it before. You know, like in the old days, they're all hanging out, they got their tongues sticking out, hoping to catch snowflakes falling from the sky. Today would have been an absolutely perfect day to do that because there's no wind. And that snow is just falling, boom, straight down. There goes a snow truck right now, salting it up as we speak here. It's good to see you guys out there working hard. My brother does that for Anderson Township. So big shout out to Rowboat and the crew down there that keep the streets plowed and salted. He likes it because it's like double, triple overtime or something. It's crazy. He loves driving trucks, always has. So big shout out to Robo. We've been having a lot of fun on social media lately. The Facebook. Now, I've been around since MySpace, and I did that with my music. And then Facebook came around, and that became the gold standard, and still is for most of us. But for me in particular, and what I do, and the just really leaving no politics on, and I might talk in some other post about politics here and there, but you're not going to catch me putting any kind of divisive political stuff in my post. It's always been about fishing or outdoors or just getting out and doing some activity, whatever your activity is. I love sharing it. I love when other people post about long bike rides or hiking the Appalachian Trail. I just love that kind of stuff. But unfortunately for me, I saw more political stuff being put on Facebook, and the platform just became polluted at that time. It was no fun. And it became very divisive. And friends saying things to friends that you're like, what? And then even family members getting into it. And you're like, this is just really too weird for me. So I started pulling back from Facebook and not participating so much on that platform. I think you could agree that it's become very political and all the fun's taken out of it. Nobody wins, if you ask me. Here's probably the best advice I can give you. If you're starting to get into social media and you're wanting to obtain sponsorship from any number of fishing industry companies out there, I don't care who they are, Hobie, Strike King, American Tackle, Spike It, Rapala, I don't care if you're getting into Googan baits, if you are net bait, if you are into venom lures. I don't care what you like. If you are attempting to perform in a manner in which you as a angler can obtain sponsorship, you shall not put political divisiveness on any of your social media, because that will shut it down immediately. I think it just ruins your credibility. I really do. I mean, there's other platforms for that. I think more of us could be better suited to, you know, go stand on a street corner or get active with the voting in your township or who's on your student or who's on your school council, educational board members, that kind of stuff. And who's the mayor of your city? You know, who is the sheriff? You know, by getting active in that way and speaking your political mind, there's that forum for it. But if you're doing it on your social media platforms as a, quote, professional angler or semi-professional angler, you just slicing your throat. I suggest you don't do it. So for that reason, I got away from Facebook. I also, my friends, okay, so they're called friends on Facebook, whether they're followers or subscribers, whatever title they're giving, you're basically there, in my opinion, to entertain them or to educate them, do something to make your platform worthy for them to remain as followers or subscribers or friends, right? So the Facebook, for me, my friends got up there about just under about 3,000 friends. To be honest with you, I know 10% of them, maybe, personally. And then another 1%, 2% of them on a very personal level. Them falling into the category of like school friends that I grew up with. And then of those school friends, the tight ones that we still hang out and stay in touch and that kind of stuff. And then a few family members. But it held stagnant there. I never was able to, despite what I was putting on, the content, it stayed right there at just under 3,000 followers. So I switched over to TikTok on the suggestion of the kids. Said, "Dad, you need to check out TikTok." Of course, they're not kids anymore. They're grown adults, but I'll always refer to them as my babies. They said, "Dude, you need to get hip on some TikTok and start that." So I, not being really shy of any type of social media, I jumped on TikTok and started having fun with it. It's really creative and fun. You got that 15-second, 30-second little quick, quirky things that you can put out. You can hone in on your personality, or your talents, whatever it is. Now, I have told others that TikTok doesn't have that political thing going on that Facebook does and kind of ruins it. Well, I spoke too soon, I believe, because that's really starting to creep in. But you can get away from that, it seems, a little bit. You can really, out of billions of people around the world, you're able to hone in on those really specific things. And if politics is your thing, here's what I do admire about TikTok, is that they have TikTok lives. Okay, so if you have over 1,000 followers, you can go on TikTok live and sit there, and that's your soapbox, man. And you can invite others to join with you on that TikTok live to sit there and talk. And I give credit where credit's due. Despite what political aisle and what side you are on, for that person that can sit there in a live forum and say, "Hey, let's talk about it," I absolutely admire that a lot more than the tit for tat that went on in Facebook in the comments section. I mean, some of that stuff's really brutal. And I think people type out things before they really think about it. And to be honest with you, I may have been guilty of that myself. But for TikTok, the followers really started to pick up. And lo and behold, I'm at like 4,000, 5,000 followers. And slowly building, it seemed to be about maybe 20 followers a week would join on. And that's pretty good. The sponsors are loving it. You know, American Tackle's digging it. Spike It's digging it. Strictly Sail, who sponsors me with my kayaks, they are digging it. The platform's going really good. It's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And it stayed that way for about 4 or 5 months, about 20, 25, 30 followers every week. And then one day I thought it would be really funny to shoot a video of how fast this little miniature horse that I bought for $200 off of Craigslist. And that's another story there. But I got this horse for a companion to an Arabian that we have here. And she's much older in her age, so she, you know, they feel much more comfortable being herding animals to be around others. So I got Poochie, this little horse, and he just runs fast. He's just hilariously fast because from the distance, as he gets closer and closer, you're expecting this thing to get bigger and bigger, but it doesn't. It actually gets smaller and smaller. Sort of really kind of, what am I looking at there? And I just grabbed the phone there, which is the same thing as saying camera nowadays. And I walked out there and I said, hey, watch this, guys. It's the fastest little horse we have. And I whistled for him. I threw that hay, and before that last piece of hay hit the deck, that thing was full tilt boogie out of the blocks, kicking up dust trail like a little, like a zephyr behind a comet. And he just scoots down that first little hill, and he comes up that little hill, and you think he's going to get bigger, and you think this thing's going to be as big as a Clydesdale, and you can hear it. I mean, them hooves are pounding. And all of a sudden, he puts on this hockey stop right at the end. You think he's going to plow right into you, and it's just the cutest thing ever. So I went in, and I showed Lisa. She thought it was funny. I said, I'm going to post this up on my TikTok, even though it has nothing to do with kayak bass fishing, which is what I was posting up. Me out there having fun on the kayak, showing a fish or two, flipping the kayak over. You know, I'm telling you, if you want to learn everything not to do in kayak bass fishing, hit my subscription button right there. Start following. I'm dangerous. But I'm just having fun doing that. This is the first time I ever put a video up that wasn't, that had nothing to do with fishing. Okay. I think before we went to bed, it had like 13 views. About 13 or so. We probably watched it 9 of those. I woke up at 5:45 the next morning. And like I always do, like probably a lot of us do, I grab that phone and I go in, start making me a cup of coffee, and I look at it, and I'm reading like 537K. What? And I had to adjust my eyes. My heart started beating a little bit. I'm like, what? It's like, walk back into the bedroom. I woke Lisa up and I said, man, am I crazy or what? Look how many views this video has. And she just jumped up with adrenaline. It was like, wow. It just blew her mind. I mean, literally, I guess that's what you could say. It went viral. How? I mean, I suddenly found out that there's a few of us that like kayak bass fishing. There's even a smaller percentage of us that like kayak bass fishing that enjoys listening to my stuff on the podcast or watching what I do on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. But there's an amazing amount of people that love fast little horses. So, my theory in the TikTok was to toss up just all kinds of things and see what works. And then once you find out what works, you integrate that in with all of your other stuff or stick to that in general. A lot of people do that. Two Turn Tony on TikTok. It's probably safe to say this guy's banking some cash. And his stuff is pretty far out there. It's very risque. It's funny. I find it funny. It's a real dry humor type of stuff. But he hones in on that specifically. And there's a lot of other people that do that too. But, you know, throw that stuff up on the wall, see what sticks, and then utilize that as your creativity or whatever it is. You know what I'm trying to say. Posting that up on your TikTok. So, now that I have a world-famous miniature horse, you'll see that I'll put a few of his videos up there, and then I'm starting to bring a lot of those other videos that I had down at the bottom that only had 300, 400, 500, 600 views, maybe 1,000 views or so, and I'm starting to bring those up into the mix with some of his videos. And you'll be surprised at what the the numbers fall down from his videos and transcend down onto the kayak bass fishing videos or the demo videos that I do. And I'm very surprised that people do reach out when they, and there's been more than a few dozen people that have said that, wow, I jumped on your page to enjoying the fast little horse only to find out that there was this cool hobby out there, or there's this sport out here that you can actually fish out of a kayak and compete and all that. So it's really been a neat way to introduce to other people this wonderful sport that we enjoy, kayak bass fishing. And it's getting exciting, so it's a really fun time to talk about it. The Hobie Bass Open Series down at Toledo Bend, man, sellout. The first event of the year, an absolute sellout. 200 anglers sign up for that. And that is in AJ's way of keeping it controlled and pleasant for everybody involved. That's one first class dude when it comes to putting on an event. And unfortunately, if you wanted to join in on the Hobie Bass Open Series down at Toledo Bend, it's too late. But there is a waiting list, and you can go to the Hobie Bass Open Series or the Hobie page on Facebook and check that out. Or you can just Google Hobie Tournament Series schedule and it'll pop up somewhere in the mix. But there is a waiting list. Not everybody can make these events. I'd be safe to say there's 10, 15, 20 anglers out of 200 that definitely are not going to be able to make it for some reason, whether it's COVID, whether it's transportation, whether it's somebody else, another type of issue. Suddenly can't get off of work, those kind of things. That happens. So you can be put on that waiting list if indeed you want to be down at Toledo Bend. What a great place to fish. As of now, it's pretty much a sacred ground. That's where we unfortunately lost Rebecca Golden. And that was an event that I was very blessed to be at. However, what happened, and it hit hard. It really hit that tournament hard. And for me, it definitely displayed the brotherhood and sisterhood of kayak bass fishing and the group there. And it was really an amazing, touching moment. And I think for that reason, it should always be considered sacred ground. Toledo Bend. Hashtag stay golden. And God bless Rebecca. But that's down at Toledo Bend. Great place to fish. And I bet you, with the temperatures dropping, call me crazy. Somebody, one of our local anglers, Michael the Grizz Grimsley, an amazing angler, one of the Strictly Sail pro staff members, and he's also Angler of the Year. He owns the big belt. I think, and I believe it's probably true. I've heard rumors that he actually wears that out to bars. Like he's up there at the back door saloon or something. He's got that big, huge pro belt on, right? Just sitting there at the end of the bar. And I understand it works for him too. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Grizz has his Angler of the Year pro belt on as he travels southbound to Toledo Bend. So I want to wish him a lot of luck. Man, you go down there and those temperatures are colder. Those southern anglers just don't have that finesse fishing that I believe as Midwestern anglers, especially Ohio, that we can develop into because of the struggles that we have here in just convincing a fish to bite. I mean, we have those struggles during the spawn up here sometimes. You know, this is rough fishing, and to catch a 4 or 5 pounder here in Ohio is really, boom, you definitely should get a pin from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources for that. Big fish just don't necessarily exist here in Ohio. There are some, of course, but it's not like going down south and just pulling them out one after another after another. I have not really seen those big alpha schools of large females that they, you know, see down at Chickamauga or Gunnersville and places like that. But wishing Grimsley just a lot of luck going down there and get them, buddy. I know that you can put the finesse on. I know you're not necessarily a real finesse guy, I think, right? Just don't, you know, patience. Takes a lot of patience to finesse. But you know what you need to get done to get it done. And I have all the confidence in the world that you're going to do really well down there. So best of luck, man. So check out Poochie on my TikTok page. It's JG Kayak Fishing on TikTok. JG Kayak Fishing on TikTok. And enjoy the speed and agility of that little 3.5 foot tall pony. Another really cool thing about TikTok is the expression of individual art that's out there. Now, unfortunately, as you're scanning through these 15-second, 30-second little short videos and stuff, you come across young kids, especially younger ladies, really girls, I should say, that are still definitely not mature enough to be doing what they're doing on TikTok to gain followers. There's a lot of booty shaking, you might say. And, in the Joe Rogan days of podcasts, there's way too much cleavage, you know. I think there's a place and a time for that. But that's the platform and that's what we're looking at. And these young girls are out there and you see that on TikTok. So as I'm falling into the rabbit hole of TikTok myself, I was down in the Apoca locker and I was using some of the Spike It Worm and Chunk paints to put on my, my Ochos, which I use the Strike King Sweet Tater Pie in specific. And there's a Dale Hollow tournament coming on. That I'm telling you what, that crushes down there. It does for me anyway. I have all the confidence in that type of lure. On a Texas rig's all you need. Boom, throw it up there on the bank and you're going to start catching some fish. So that's my plan of attack, going down to Dale Hollow and doing some fishing here in the first part of the season. So I was getting those ready with the worm and chunk paints. And what I do is take the Ocho, and you know, it's got sort of a chartreuse, it's got a burnt orange, it's got black, a little brown on there. I'll take either the Market, the Spike It unscented Market markers and lure markers, and I'll just highlight those, or I can take some of that Spike It worm paint or the worm and chunk paint and just raise those up a little bit. It really gives it some really cool looking texture. It makes those colors, those same colors, just absolutely pop. I can throw some of the holographic on there and it just looks awesome. So that's what I was doing in the Apocalocker, and I was falling into the rabbit hole of TikTok, and I come across this young lady. It was her accent. Okay, now my mama had a pretty deep Kentucky accent, and to me it is one of the most favorable Appalachian type accents. It's just like, for me, it's like pouring molasses on biscuits. It's just smooth and it's slow, and for me it's music to my ears. So when I heard this accent, I looked down and this young lady is making these jigs. She's tying jigs. And then I was like, well, how old is this girl? And I start watching. Boom, I immediately go to her page, Bay Bay Bates, spelled B-A-I-B-A-I Bates. Okay, her name's Bailey. Get it? Bay Bay Bates. Right? Let's get cuter, can we? Right? So I go to her page and I start watching the creativity that this girl has. She has a talent for tying lures, and she's just so cute about it. By golly, she's only 11 years old. And I'm like, what? So she had like a couple 300 followers, 400 followers, and it was her goal, just a very humble, cute way, it was her goal to, in the year 2022, to gain 1,000 followers by the end of the year. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm seeing some of these influencers, if that's what you want to call them, on TikTok, really, because of the numbers involved, able to really rack up some support for others, whether it's monetarily, and food, or paying for, gosh, the devastation in Kentucky. Some of the amazing things that people are doing because of the numbers. Just getting people to send in $1 or $5, some type of donation in a PayPal account or something like that, account name for whatever cause they're doing. It's amazing how they're turning around. So I thought, you know, isn't there something that we can do? Maybe I can do something. After all, I've got to share some of the 57,000 followers I now have on TikTok because of this fast little horse. Poochie brought it. I mean, he put the hammer down on the followers, which really does good for me. And it's equally great for my sponsors like Spike It, like Strictly Sail and Kayaks, like Port Arthur Instant Limb Lines, and American Tackle. Boom. So there's got to be a way I can share this. So I just made a little post. I said, hey man, let's, by the end of the month, let's get her the followers. Well, a couple other people joined in. We got the party started, and by golly, she's over 1,000 followers. I was so excited because now she can start doing lives. Well, guess what? I didn't think that she's underage and can't do lives, which is probably a good thing too, because there's a lot of creeps out there. But at least we got her followers up, and she's well on her way. As they say here in Cincinnati, she's on her way with Ted McKay. which means it's good. I hope to meet Bailey at the Columbus Fishing Expo. She's not going to have a booth there, although she's well-deserved to have one. Her lures are amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Bay Bay Baits on TikTok and check her stuff out. You can go to Bay Bay Baits on Facebook as well. And you can order these lures, and bless her heart, she sends them in a little cute package. She sends a overload of these cute little stickers that say Bay Bay Baits on it. Just cute. Little pink sticker. Thank you for helping me in my business. You know, it's just an amazing how she has them packed up. The weights of the lure. All, I mean, she's legit. So let's reach out, man. And if you are particularly in favor of using jigs, like the sloppy mop type of jigs, she makes an incredible, she works with, you know, like the hair and feathers. I mean, just check them out. Go on Bay Bay Baits on Facebook, Bay Bay Baits on TikTok. I've got my order and I am so excited to use mine. I can't wait to just catch a monster on it and hold it up in front of the camera and take a picture for. I'm super excited. The expos have been doing really well. If you, Sharonville Expo just proved great again. The weather was pretty cold, and there was some precipitation, snow, fall. It did leave, I think, one or two of the days kind of slow, but like the third, there was one day that was really hopping. I can't quite remember which one that was, but I was out there all 3 days hanging out with Strictly Sailing Kayak and also with Yak Gadget, another one of my sponsors, John Thomas, down in Nashville, Tennessee, putting out some great products. And to hang out with John Thomas there at the Yak Gadget booth was, boom, did a lot for me. And understanding what that guy has going on. Not such a background in fishing, although he's been fishing his whole life, but more of a creative marketer and just somebody that thinks outside of the box and knows how to put it together once he thinks outside of the box. And so kind of coming into the kayak bass fishing world or the kayak angling world from a different perspective, which is really neat. And I think that's why his products are so unique, is because, wow, you like sit there and go, wow, well, okay, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that's how I can put a motor on the back of this Hobie Pro Angler 14? Why didn't I think of that? You know, I mean, you look at their great stuff. Check it out, yakgadget.com. I think you'll agree. It's your kayak. You just make it as individual as you would like. So it was a lot of fun. We had the Old Town PDL 106 all dressed up, looking nice, and that was donated from Strictly Sailing Kayak from their booth. And that is the one kayak that I'm really going to enjoy using this year. Hopefully I can continue to have that on hand. It is donated from Strictly Sailing Kayak, allowing me to bring these kayaks home and check them out and talk about them. But I absolutely love the PDL Old Town. It's an amazing kayak to get you started, whether you're beginning or you're actually shifting gears. You want to get into a more of a legit kayak, something that's a little bit more integrated with the workings of a angling kayak, and something that's stable. The PDL 106 for under $2,000, it's a kayak that you can legitly build up into a tremendous kayak bass fishing platform. So check it out, Strictly Sailing Kayak in Blue Ash, Ohio. You can go online and check them out. This Greater Cincinnati Travel Sports and Boat Show was pretty amazing. That's a big show. It's one of the bigger shows that we have here in the area. Of course, now it's the Duke Energy Convention Center. I would say this, though, Cincinnati, and being a bike messenger down there for a long time, I had pedicab service down there for a long time, where I had three pedicabs. We transport people just like you were in Bangkok, man. Get on the pedicab. Let's go rock and roll through traffic. We did that for a number of years. And then and just as a downtown someone that works at like Segway of Cincinnati down there. I was doing downtown tours and stuff. So I kind of know Duke Energy Convention Center pretty well. I've ridden Segways in and out of that place. And it's a lot of fun to run a Segway inside the Duke Energy because it's got that smooth, really hard carpet. Man, it's got great grip. We practice polo in that thing, and there is such a thing as Segway polo. But one thing that I would say is that their hours are horrible for conventions. Like on a Friday or a Thursday where they like don't open until like 3 in the afternoon, you know, get that thing opened up, you know. I mean, people are in town, you know. To me, open it up. I know if I was paying the space that it takes to put my product up on a convention center floor, and that's not cheap, I would want that thing opened up. That's me personally. But the Greater Cincinnati Travel, Sports, and Boat Show went great. Strictly Sail had an amazing booth there. A lot of kayaks to choose from. They had the demo pond there, encouraging people to get in and out of the kayaks to try them out. You know, kayaks you can touch and talk about them and look at them and kind of poke around and see what all the gadgets are. But until you actually get in one and experience the true stability of that kayak, the intimate water experience, that's when you really, man, you can see the gears. The gears are turning when they come up, rather in favor of the kayak or not in favor of the kayak. It depends on who's walking by those kayaks. There are some people out there that you are absolutely not going to say anything to get them out of the funk of thinking that is a watercraft I can never use. I don't trust it. I can never do that. I think it's silly. It looks like more work than anything. Ah, oh, heck, I don't like. I'll just take my 14-foot aluminum John boat out. I don't care how heavy it is. I'll just throw it up on top of the old car topper. And you kind of get exhausted. And, you know, you just basically tap them on the back and go, well, I can see a kayak's not for you, man. We got some cool bass boats over there. Go check out the bass trackers. Right? But then there's other people that come around. They're going, wow, wait a minute. I just came from the bass tracker. And that thing was $37,000. Not really the one I liked. Hell, the one I really liked was $90,000. And then all of a sudden, there's this kayak here surrounded by a world of obvious innovation. Wow, these aren't the same type of kayaks that you go down the river with that little rubber skirt. A lot of people actually think. I have a lot of lift riders in my back seat, and I do everything I can to try to get the conversation around something I'm fascinated in. The first and foremost, you got to find out what they're fascinated in. If they don't want to tell you, they won't tell you. Don't dig it anymore. But if they're into conversation, they'll tell you a little bit what they do, right? And no matter what, you got to find it fascinating. Wow, that's amazing. That's how you get the tips, right? But then you can, you know, they'll ask you in kind usually, what do you like to do? Man, I'll start talking about the Hobies. I'll start talking about the old towns. I'll start talking about the ability to go out and compete in a kayak. And people are just like, wow, really? I thought those kayaks were just them little teardrop looking things that you, you know, put that little rubber on around you and roll over. I thought, how could you ever fish from that, right? I get that all the time. So that's what a lot of people are thinking, right? Sort of like my self little survey, what people are thinking about kayaks. They're amazed when they see a kayak that you can actually stand up in, right? So you see those gears turning. Wow, I just left this booth over here, and that thing had that bass boat had everything you needed in except a bar. And there's one on the other side. The pontoon boat got a hell of a bar in it, and that son of a bitch cost $279,000. You're like, what? For a pontoon boat? Lord have mercy. It's got 9 speakers in it and 6 cup holders. Yeah, you know what I mean. So you're walking from that, and I think it was really cool that Strictly Sail and Kayak had the kayaks back in the back, because that was the turnaround there I would suggest for them to keep it there all the time. That was the turnaround. And by the time you get back there, you're sticker shocked with the cost of a boat nowadays. And then all of a sudden, you see these kayaks. You're in a world of the innovation, the Hobie Bass Open Series. They have a guaranteed payout of $100,000 this year at the Tournament of Champions. That's a guaranteed payout. That's a first place angler in a plastic watercraft that cost him, what, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? He's taking home a check for $45,000. I think that's a pretty good return. Even for the guy that gets ninth place, it's like $2,500. You just paid for your kayak. There's not many pro boats or semi-pro boat tournaments out there that you can cruise out in your $79,000 Nitro and even and take ninth place to pay for it. You know, the return, the gas you have to put in those things, the oil, the maintenance, the winter storage, the trailer it comes on, the big truck it takes for you to haul it. Hell, nowadays, you literally got to own like a concrete company to have a cool looking boat or one like that, and a lot of money to put into it. Those entry fees aren't cheap. But man, here on the local level, you can get in a plastic watercraft for a couple $1,000s. And you can get into a tournament for $30 or $35. You put $5 or $10 down on big bass. Always go big bass. And next thing you know, you're taking home a big bass check in first place, and you got close to $1,000, maybe even more. I mean, nowadays we're getting like 80 anglers in these local tournaments, 200 in these national tournaments. And when you talk something like KBF, the Kayak Bass Fishing National Tournament, I mean, you're talking 600, 700, 800 people in that tournament. And then if the Hook Bassmasters, I think they're limited out at like 200, which I think is really good because it really does give you that experience, individual experience that's equal and in fairness to everybody else. It's just not too much. So the expos went really cool. And we got the Columbus Expo coming up here. That's February 10th. 11th, 12th, something like that. You better look that online. If you're around the Columbus, Ohio area, stop in and see Strictly Sail and Kayak. They'll be there. This is really a good time for me when it comes to like lure maintenance. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that on the return trip. But right now, I just want to give a little shout out to a couple of my sponsors. So you're sitting in your kayak for a long time during these tournaments, just out pre-fishing. Maybe you're just out having fun, but whether you like it or not, you are subjected to weather. You can't find cover. You get wet from above and below as well. There is just absolutely no place to hide. And for your terminal tackle, this means corrosion. Now, I know there is a amount of kayak anglers out there that have invested in waterproof cases, and when you get home, you open these cases and you make sure everything's dry and legit. But that's not me. I just don't always do that, and I seem to be always surprised when I open up my Plano tackle boxes and I see corrosion and rust, and often on equipment that I have never used before. So basically ruined. I can't say that for the American Tackle Pro Staff hooks. These are brand new Pro Staff hooks from American Tackle. I use the offset round bend style, call them the 1201 series hooks. These are perfect for numerous plastic baits. I love rigging the American Tackle Pro Staff stick figure and the finesse worm baits up to these. I use them in a Texas rig, a Carolina rig, featuring the new Sharpenite coating that stays sharper longer, helps have a much smoother penetration. You know, like when that needle goes in your arm, you don't feel it, such a smooth penetration. This is even protective to the fish itself. You know, you're not ripping lips. I don't think we really want to be doing that. So you have a very sharp, smooth penetration with these, and they put off literally no glare and the extended corrosion resistance that applies to them is really amazing. You get these in 10 packs. And what I really like about it, you think, why didn't I think of that? Another one of those moments where they take a bread tie, a little gold bread tie, not just a bread tie, but a little gold bread tie, and they tie those hooks up. So that way you take one off and you just retie them and put them right back in the pack. And man, you know how a lot of times you open up a hook pack and you can never hang it again? Well, that's not an issue with American Tackle. You can hang these things right back up on the pegboard, just taking a few of the hooks with you or the whole pack. They're going to stay protected with that new Sharpenite coating. I absolutely love them. Check them out at AmericanTackleAnglerProducts.com. John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by Strictly Sail and Kayak, located in Blue Ash, Ohio. They have a pile of kayaks in stock right now. Over 100 kayaks right now available. The Hobie Mirage Compass, the New Canoe Unlimited, the Mokin 12.5, the Hobie Mirage Outback, the Hobie Mirage Pro Angler 14 with the 180 drive, the Lure 11.5, the Big Fish 120, the 2022 Hobie 360 Mirage Pro Angler 14, the new Canoe Frontier 12, the list goes on, the Sportsman 120 PDL, my new favorite, the Sportsman PDL 106. I absolutely love that thing. The new Canoe Flint. Folks, they have a whole bunch of them. You need to check them out. They have been servicing the tri-state sailing and kayak community since 1978. Check them out online. It's strictlysailinc.com. Here's their phone number, 513-984-1907. That's 513-984-1907 or strictlysailinc.com. Welcome back, everybody, to John Graves Kayak Fishing here on Anchor FM. I'm actually inside the house right now. It's 8 degrees outside. And the snow, we have maybe 5 inches, 6 inches out there. It is crunchy. Everything is absolutely frozen solid. So I thought I'd take a break. Even the little heater fan that we have going on in the tack room isn't doing much justice to the chill that we have in the Midwestern area right now. But it's pretty comfortable here in the house. This is only like the second time or third time that I've done a podcast here in the home. So you're subjected to an occasional doorbell and dogs barking and things like that. But I'm sitting here comfortably and I am looking at my Plano tackle box full of jigs. And I am so excited. This is the first year after about 7 years of doing this. And I'm a slow learner. Really, I am. I'm not as aggressive to go out and buy the latest and greatest of things. I try to make do with what I have. In other words, I'm a tightwad. I wish at times I was more bourgeoisie, more like Lisa, but I'm not. And as a result, I just try to work with what I got. But right now, I am looking at a collection of, without a doubt, the best collection of jigs that I have had. I have Itsy Bitsies. I've got them up to the Denny Brower Pro Structure jig, one of my favorites. I love the Cobra Head design. I just have confidence in that jig. It's worked great for me, so why change things up? And I also have a big a selection of the Booyah jigs, which it's an inexpensive jig, one of the least expensive jigs out there on the retail racks, but they're good. I really enjoy them. I get great hookups. Again, it's just another one of those things where I've gone through a few different types of jigs and these work good for me, at least right now. Also have a small selection of Jig Masters, and those worked out really well for me. I've got those from the Paddle and Fin podcast.
crew down at Dale Hollow, and I absolutely love those jigs. They work great for me. I need to reorder. That's where I'm at with those folks. And then last but not least, without a doubt, I think this is going to be something that I project in the future is really going to make a big bang, and that is Bay Bay Baits. I ordered up some of these handmade custom jigs. I got them in a 3/8 ounce size. I'm going a little bit bigger, and part of going bigger with the jigs are without a doubt having the right pole to throw them with. So until I really matched up myself with a great bait casting rod and reel combo, I'm currently using the American Tackle. I'm using the LP8 bait casting reel, and I have that on a 7.2 heavy rod, and I absolutely love it. It's just been a great tool for me and throwing the jig. So once I found out through process of elimination, again, I just didn't go out and buy the latest and greatest. I practiced. I bought things at retail. I bought things at garage sales. I bought things at flea markets. I've traded with folks out on the road and stuff like that. That's how I've acquired my knowledge of rods and reels. And now really honing in on having those 7, 8, 9 very select rod and reel combos all set up to do totally different things. And I'm just now at that point. And I'm happy to say that more than half of the rod and reel combos that I'm using right now, including some of my spin casters, are all American Tackle products. And I love them. I cannot wait to get out there. That's for sure. So Bay Bay Baits, check them out on TikTok. That's where I discovered Bailey, that otherwise known as Bay Bay Baits. And she's 11 years old, and she makes these beautiful jigs that are amazing. She has a great little business going, and I just absolutely applaud her and admire her for what she's doing. So Bay Bay Baits, you can find them on Facebook as well. I can close the lid on my jigs. Boom. And I think those are ready to put in the Yak Gadget Low Pro crate. I'm excited. So just to hone in a little bit on my type of lure maintenance, whether this makes sense to you guys or not, I'm sure everybody is, that's what's cool about kayak bass fishing, is that we can, it's our individual thing. Our kayak becomes our individual motherships. Our techniques become individual to us, how we go about it, how we plan, how we pre-plan, how we, pre-fish, where we stay at, whether it's a bread and breakfast or a bread and breakfast. Those are the low rent ones that I get. I just get bread. The bed and breakfast or the Airbnbs or the state parks, or we just camp out sometimes a lot like me right in that suburban. I'll open that bad boy up in a state park and absolutely love it. I love crashing out in that thing, and I save a lot of money doing it. But however we do it, however we get ourselves ready for the tournament season, I'm sure it's slightly different than others. And the way I go about it, and really it wasn't up until about 3 years ago when I ran into that, it's not a problem at all. A lot like other anglers, I'm sure you have 4 or 5 particular lures. That's Stormy right there. Particular lures that really have become your favorites. And they have stuck with you through thick and thin. I have about a dozen of those. So about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I started, how novel is this? Changing the treble hooks on those things. Once I realized how important that was, I mean, they may feel sharp to you, but after even a long tournament using the same crankbait over and over, you are dolling out those hooks, and to put a fresh pair of treble hooks on that lure is not crazy to think about. In fact, there are professional anglers out there that switch them things out literally on a daily basis. I guess if we all had sponsors like Mustad, we would do things like that. But not that the treble hooks are relatively that expensive, but I think you get definitely more return out of that particular hardware upgrade in all of your hooks. If you have a lure that just doesn't have the quality hooks on it, man, upgrade those hooks. Not necessarily meaning upgrade the size or shrink the size down. As a general rule of thumb, those lures were designed to do a very particular thing in the water, and by switching up the weight and size of those treble hooks can often get you into trouble like that. General rule of thumb for me is just keep them the same size. So, but I do upgrade them. I get better if I like a wide, really a wide gap in that hook, and I just want to make sure that it's strong enough to really hold when I need it to. And that sharp penetration, that's why I love about the American Tackle Sharpenite worm hooks that I use. They're just incredibly sharp, and they stay sharp, and they have that Sharpenite coating, which doesn't give them the glare. And it would really be neat to see American Tackle possibly come out with those treble hooks in a Sharpenite type thing. I would absolutely love that. But just changing out everything, the split rings and the treble hooks, boom. So what I do around this time of the year, since I'm a Lyft and Uber driver, I will take out a Plano tackle box with me, and I will have what is needed if you want to do this successfully without killing yourself or ripping your fingernails off. Get yourself a really nice quality set of split ring pliers. It's a must. You have to have the split ring pliers in order to really do this in an expedient fashion. I can change all of my treble hooks. I can basically run maintenance on all of my lures, and I can do that within 9 or 10 hours throughout the winter. And while I'm sitting around hanging out with the dogs, having some coffee, or I'm out in the barn, I'm chilling, whatever it is, if I'm watching football, go Bengals, it's a great time to run the lure maintenance. So the first thing I do is take all the hooks off. It's just something I do. I like doing it. It's really therapy for me, whether I've even used that lure or not. I'm just going to take the hooks off of it. And I'm actually, now I think of this year, I'm going to store more of my lures without the hooks on them, and having a pretty good idea of what lure, what color, what I'm going to be using at the tournament is when I will go ahead and put the treble hooks on those lures. But otherwise, I'm going to pack them without the treble hooks on them. And here's what I do. While I'm Lyft and Uber driving, and I got the time to do that, I'll be in a parking lot. And funny thing happened to me a couple weeks ago, about 9:45 at night. And I don't blame him at all for doing what he is doing. He was doing his job, but I had a Miami Township police officer really surprised me as I was sitting there in the sort of like meatloaf making love in the dashboard lights there. And I had a tray opened up, and I had all of my lures, and I was taking the hooks off of them. And what I like to do is wax my lure. So when I'm sitting there minding basically my own business, but I'm waiting for a Lyft rider to go pick up, or an Uber rider, I hear this knock on the window. Okay, I'm gonna listen, the dogs are gonna go nuts. Oh, actually, they did. Well, it really surprised me. You guys are getting lame. Normally, they're just ferociously going to the front door, protecting us from the UPS man. So I hear this knock on the window, and man, I jump, I look up, and it's this police officer. He's got his light, and he's looking down on me. It's obvious he can see immediately what I'm doing. And I roll the window down, and I said, oh, excuse me, officer. And he goes, yeah, I was just checking to see what you're doing. We have a lot of people, you know, passing out in cars around here, and we do. We have a huge problem with fentanyl and heroin and that kind of stuff. And so it's not uncommon to find people passed out in cars, you know, and cars running in the middle of intersections even. And so I smile. He asked what I had going on. I said, I'm waxing my lure. And it just kind of, it came out like that. And he, you could tell that, you know, like a West Virginia state trooper, he's been to a few pickle parks, and the term waxing a lure might, you know, not come off as understandably as what you're doing, if that makes any type of sense. So speaking of West Virginia State Trooper, big shout out to John Rapp. John Rapp's doing a great job with his podcast that he's got going on. And a big shout out to all my boys in blue for sure. So I'll take a turtle wax, just basically using a super hard shell liquid wax. I have a polishing cloth. I'll grab a lure. This one right here that I got in my hand is a Rapala DT, and it's got some purple to it. It's got some really cool color, chartreuse, a dark back, and I know I've already got all the treble hooks off of it, and I know that if I just put a little of this turtle wax on there, and I've had folks actually can be concerned about the smell, you know, you don't want your lure smelling like turtle wax or carnauba, which is one of my favorite smells, by the way. But it within a few days, that smell is gone off of the lure. You don't really leave any of that residue on there. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you get done polishing that, it is absolutely brilliant how that color comes out. So that's something that I really love doing this time of the year, is waxing my lures. Now, I'd be curious if there was a very particular already made lure wax out there. And I wouldn't want something to smell like the Spike It Dip and Glow in a garlic, but if it had maybe a anise smell to it, which is that the licorice kind of smell, or maybe a coffee, I think that would be quite pleasant. So I might have to look into that. But I love waxing my lures, and I don't care what anybody says. It just rejuvenates the lure itself. It brings the color back out, and I feel it leaves it with a slight protective finish. That does help it, keeping it from getting scratched up with the treble hooks and stuff. But to even furthermore protect this from not getting scratched up by the treble hooks, I'm not putting those back on this lure right now. I'm just going to throw it right back into my Plano box, and I will keep in another compartment in that box the hooks, the treble hooks for those particular crankbaits and other lures that I use. But check it out. I mean, try it out for yourself on a couple of your favorite lures. Again, I don't use any particular wax. I like the turtle wax liquid, super hard shell finish. I like the smell of it. It makes the cab of my car smell good when I'm doing that in the car. People do wonder, you know, they see a Plano box. You can tell the fisherman that's sitting in the back seat, they see that Plano box, and I'll often just open up my box and just throw it back there at them and let them check out the lures. And I have to admit, you know, I got a beautiful collection of some specialty lures here. I'm a big fan of the Rapala DTs. I'm a huge fan of the Strike King deep diving crankbaits. I have a beautiful selection of Kevin Frazier custom crankbaits from Hang Outdoors. I have an amazing collection of jerkbaits from American Tackle. I encourage you to check them out, American Tackle, Angler Products, and some of the great lures they're coming out with, and also the American Tackle shallow crankbaits, and they look beautiful. And when I get them all waxed up and beautiful, man, to me, it's just like, it becomes a collection. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of the anglers out there feel the same way as I do about the lures. But that, for me personally, that just helps me in my lure maintenance. It's a lot of fun to do when you're killing some time. And boom, don't be surprised if somebody knocks on the door of your car while you're in a dark parking lot waxing your lure and ask, hey, what's going on in there? Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to John Graves Kayak Fishing. Hit that follow button, subscription button, spread the word. I really appreciate it. I feel this is going to be a very exciting year for us. At this time, I absolutely wish and everybody the best of luck in the first Hobie Bass Open Series down in Toledo Bend. I pray for everybody's safe fishing, pre-fishing, and return home. Hashtag stay golden in memory of Rebecca and Toledo Bend. By golly, it's going to be a great, the sport's heading in the right direction. And I'm telling you what, if you don't sign up for some of the next few Hobie Bass Opens, I have a feeling those 200 angler slot is going to fill up quickly. Once again, thank you so much for following John Graves Kayak Fishing here on Anchor FM.